So, second. Bob Nichols.
Aye.
Good morning. Few requests for you today, and most of you have heard about these before, so I'll just go through them. First one is 16B waivers in the public defender's office for one full-time assistant public defender and one part-time assistant public defender. As I said last week, these are funded by ILS.
Second. You going to find anybody for them?
We hope so, but
just question.
You know, at least we'll have the positions there if we do, you know. I mean, yeah.
Aye.
Actually, next, John, I'm going to have to do this one.
Sure. Good morning, everybody. So I'm here to request going above the midpoint for the new family court assistant public defender position that we had created by the grant that I received from ILS. That position was designed to specifically handle the Article 10 cases in the office, and then also help reduce caseloads across the three attorneys that we currently have. We'll be up to a total of four attorneys on our family court side. And the reason why I'm requesting doing this is the candidate is from another county, but she worked for my office about 5 years ago in the other county. She has gained very specific knowledge and basically was in charge of handling all Article 10s for that county. Based on that experience and where she was several years ago, and based on her salary that she had there, my request was for step 8, which is $74,775.
I'll move it. Hilda.
Second, Fitzpatrick.
Any questions for Sean?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Have we ever looked at the various departments and attorneys that work in various departments, and are their salaries all in line with one another?
I'll defer to.
I can answer that. This is Jack. Yes, we are looking at it, I would say, and was hoping to bring it to you this month, but it will likely be next month at admin to go all to review all of that. I would say most are within line based on years of experience. There's a couple that are not. And then also to have a discussion about how the landscape has changed for salaries for hiring attorneys across the region, because it has changed pretty dramatically here over the past, especially year.
Thank you.
Question. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Appropriate.
I did it.
I got a question.
Go ahead, Bob.
This is Nichols. My question is, you said a grant for to help pay for this. How long does a grant last?
This grant is a 3-year contract. And my experience, and I believe Attorney Roach, who was my predecessor, the experience has been that these 3-year contracts are then renewed every single year once a position is created. So we've got a number of ILS distributions that have now been funded for years. And this is similar to that. I also have, although they haven't advertised it this way, I have a sneaking suspicion that this is identical to the Harrell Herring funding without the lawsuit. And so this is something that they have plans for on the family court side of the house in perpetuity. So every 3 years, and then another one comes out to bookend it.
Okay. I just wondered if it was only 6 months or something.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Okay, next one is Office for the Aging. Again, like I said last week, this is for two full-time personal care aide positions. They were put in your budget for this year, and this is just creating those positions to be able to fill them.
I'll move it.
A second, Nichols. Lando.
Questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Carried.
Okay, and the last thing is I'm asking for authorization to put out an RFP for psychological examinations. As you all know, the police reform that's occurred in the last couple of years, one of the things that's included in that is that everyone has to have a psychological exam by the civil service agency prior to being hired as a police officer. Obviously, there's certain criteria that have to be met, so I need to have somebody qualified to do that. I'm looking to put out an RFP to see what we can get.
Motion, Fitzpatrick.
Second, Swackhammer.
Questions, comments?
What happens with the results of those exams? Are they shared?
No. Well, they're shared with me and likely the sheriff or the you know, chief of police, wherever it would be, but that's it. And a lot of agencies do their own, and even our sheriff has been doing their own for a while, not quite as extensive as what we're going to have to do here. But previous to this, I wasn't real comfortable using them as an actual disqualification tool because it wasn't part of the exam through the state. And that would create some difficulties for us. So I allowed the sheriff and the police departments to use it as a selection tool where the person wouldn't really be removed from the list if they didn't pass, but they could use it to figure out if it was somebody they wanted. Now, Section 58 of civil service law has actually been amended to say that this is a part of the exam. So it has to be done and it will be used as a qualification tool. So
I asked that because there was an article in yesterday's paper about the police reform and how sharing of employee personnel records in all the police agencies continues to be an issue. So I just wondered if this is now going to be part of that.
You know, it's not public information per se. I mean, but you're right. There's a lot of stuff that I would have never shared before that under these, I have no choice. If we get a subpoena or, the request, an appropriate request, we have to. So to be honest with you, I'm not positive, but I would think something like this is going to, you've got HIPAA concerns, stuff like that. Yeah. So,
okay.
So we need a motion.
Walter.
We already had him. Second.
We already have it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Oh, carried.
Thank you much. Okay.
Next up, Jack.
Okay, thank you. So the first item for discussion is the buildings and grounds and DPW discussion, which was kicked off at AIP last week. And in talking with Jen last week, I think if this group and the legislature is comfortable in sort of the functional merging of these departments, we could handle it in the same way that we handled the charter amendment for the creation of the Director of Public Safety in essentially two sections, in the Public Works section under the Commissioner of the Charter, and then under the Buildings and Grounds sections, we could designate that the Commissioner of Public Works supervises that department. And then to piggyback on that, I would recommend the reclassification likely of the deputy superintendent of buildings and grounds to a deputy commissioner of public works / buildings and grounds. We would have to get you the appropriate grading for that so we could bring that to you as well. But if this is something that you all are interested in and it's, in discussion, it's something I would recommend. I think we could achieve it, in a couple month process between a small amendment to the charter that would go through the full board and then the reclassification of a position to create a deputy commissioner of public works that's responsible for buildings and grounds.
Will the budgets remain separated, Jack? Or would they be consolidated into one department budget?
Brian, you could, yeah, you could do it both ways, but I would recommend, I would strongly recommend keeping them separate, just so you, right, you can track the cost centers. And we're doing the same for, even though we have a director of public safety managing, you know, emergency services and 911, we're keeping the budget separate so that you all and we can track expenditures better.
Okay, thanks. Any questions for Jack?
Thoughts? This is Hilda. Just makes sense, I think, to do what we're talking about doing.
This is Scott. I would agree. It's funny because years ago, when we had issues with the buildings and Eric, it was discussed back then, you know, that buildings, Vince's buildings and highway shops still fall under the purview of buildings and grounds, even though they were under the highway department. So it makes sense that they be combined.
I agree as well. I think that it's a good move to move them all together.
Well, I think that's a general consensus, Jack.
Okay. So what we could do, if you wanted to get the ball rolling this month, is we could have a special admin with the proposed changes to the charter. And then that would get, because it would be a 2-month process, correct, Jen?
Yes.
Okay. So we could get that started this month, have a special admin if you wanted to get it started on the agenda this month, so that before you guys voted on it, you would actually see the wording changes to the charter. And we could start that this month, and then next month would be the final adoption along with the reclassification of the position, so that by essentially June, you'd be functional and ready to go.
Sounds good.
So Jack, you couldn't see Jen's face in the camera, but when you were saying that, she looked like she thought she now has to work on Easter Sunday in order to get that ready in time.
And I do. Thank you, Chairman. I do. Because I can't present it to you on the 25th. I was trying to do math in my head, and I'm an attorney. I don't do math because I have to have it to you next Monday in order for it to sit on your desk for a set period of time before you can review it on the 25th and vote on it in any way, shape, or form.
Well, we can kick it back. Why not?
Pick it up on the regular May admin committee.
Yeah.
That'll work, right, John?
If you don't mind waiting, yeah, because it does have to have a gap period in between sitting and voting on.
That's fine.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairman.
Absolutely.
I guess we're next moving on to redistricting.
Yes, and again, apologies for being remote and also having hardware issues with my computer, so I can't share my screen and show you, but I'm hoping that Yvonne would be able to share.
She's got
plan.
It.
Okay, I can see that. Could they share it on the Zoom? If not, I have it on my phone and I can walk through the different scenarios.
What was the question, Yvonne?
It's on the screen for everybody to see, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
Correct, but it's not on.
I'm not sure if it's for Zoom call.
Right.
Hilda, can you see it?
I cannot, but I can go into my email and find it.
There we go. Okay. Everyone on Zoom sees that as well. I mean,
yes.
Okay.
Hold on, Jack. We can't see it here. Oh, there it goes.
Oh, okay.
We're good now.
Okay. Thank you. So I'll just kind of a brief overview. Chris and I have spent, you know, a lot of time working on this over the past few months. Big credit for Dan Kahabka, just real quick, just a plug for him. I wish we had this 10 years ago when I was doing it, because he created a GIS application that allowed us to much more efficiently look at scenarios by drawing essentially polygons around the districts, and that would capture the population. So he has made our life significantly more easy. So thanks to Dan for that. As we've talked about, heading into this, so sort of the framework of how these things were constructed. Obviously, the largest disparities in terms of the separation from the ideal, and you can see the ideal seat is that 5,505 per seat. So the main issues that we have are certainly the town of Irwin and then the city of Hornell on opposite sides of the spectrum. City of Hornell is significantly low. Is in your current structure, the town of Irwin is significantly high. So you're getting further away from that one person, one vote structure, even though you do weighted voting. It creates issues with the weighted voting because now you have, if you were to reweight, you have many scenarios where either a bare majority or if things get worse, if things get more disparate, then you could have a minority of the actual number of legislators carrying issues if we ever went to weighted voting. So when we approach this, just like last time, the same methodology was trying to get as close to ideal as possible. As you know, the statute for the single member district really wants you to get within that 2-3%. We were looking, since we have multi-member districts in many cases, to get plus or minus 10%. The first two scenarios that we are presenting, I would say, represent the most minimal amount of changes for most districts. It primarily addresses the Hornell city issue along with the Irwin issue, and it does it by combining neighboring municipalities. So in this case, in option A, you can see in the green, District 1, the city of Hornell would be combined with Hornellsville, Dansville, Hartsville, and Greenwood, and then that district would receive 3 representatives. That, again, you know, gets that area much closer to the ideal population by having 3 representatives in that district. You're essentially combining 2 districts with a portion of, number 9, District 9, with the town of Greenwood. So that solves, that I would say better addresses the city of Hornell issue. And then the town of Irwin issue, again, this is similar to what you, this board looked at 10 years ago, is again, to address that is a combination of the town of Irwin with some neighboring towns, in this case, Addison and Tuscarora for option A, with that district receiving 2 legislators. The rest of the district, the only other districts that change in this scenario are District 9, because Greenwood gets peeled off, and then District 11, which now is closer, it is a little further away. If you added Lindley, it would be closer to ideal. So that is option A. If you're okay, I'll just go through each of these just to put them on for discussion, and then I can obviously answer any questions. Yvonne, if you could go to the next slide, please.
Yeah, I have a comment already. Goodness. Have you ever run for office, Jack?
No, Gary, I have not.
Well, do you look at the territory that you're offering myself and 2 other people? Hornellsville, Greenwood. How do you go and get all those votes?
Well, Mr. Swackhammer,
you got to take into little consideration the people who are running, not just the number to equal what you want to equal. I mean, that's a huge area to be talking. Hornellsville, Greenwood, Dansville, and Hartsville.
No, I certainly and understand.
Be part-time and run as a part-time person and have things to do. And you got to go out and get all those votes and talk to all those people and visit all those homes. Let's take the person into consideration too.
But what's your alternative fix? Hornell is the issue currently, and Irwin is the issue.
North Hornell and Hornell would do it.
Do you have an option like that?
And that would keep us in the city and not having city folks that are in the city run to the countryside.
So adding, just to answer the question, well, I think I should mention, Mr. Swackhammer, I mean, none of this is a value judgment or a statement on the political process or your jobs. I understand how extremely difficult your jobs are. This is just scenarios to, just like last time, to fix the problem. We're not making any value judgment by presenting these to you. All we are presenting to you are options. So I would just, you know,
is option D, Gary, and he'll get to it.
Well, I would say if you took the city of Hornell and added, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but it would still be more than 20% off of ideal if you added the city of Hornell, or if you added North Hornell to the city of Hornell. Then the two representatives from the city of Hornell each would be more than 20% below the ideal population. So, well,
does North Hornell count as Hornellsville?
Yes.
Is that what North Hornell is? Yep. So option D shows those at 12,300 residents for two seats is 6,100 each.
North Hornell's Hornellsville made up of more than just North Hornell. You got Hartford and the rest of Hornellsville.
Yeah, I thought Mr. Swackhammer was talking just about the village of North Hornell, which is, I think, like 800 folks.
Right.
Or actually, it might be less than that. It might be 400. But anyhow, and we looked at that last time. That doesn't, again, if you want to get as close to ideal as possible, that doesn't do that. But again, I'll go through these, and I understand these are very difficult things, and we're not. I just want to make it clear that we're not making any value judgments or for these. We're just presenting you all with options, and it is your responsibility to select or not select the options that you like. Option B is the same composition for the Hornell area. The only change is that instead of Tuscarora being added for District 10, District 10 is not in this scenario is Irwin, Addison, and Rathbun instead of Tuscarora. So Tuscarora in this scenario would be 9, would move to 9. And Rathbun would move to 10. So, and again, the rest of the districts are minimally impacted. If you want to go to option C. So this is where we get into more of the larger geographical dispersions with multi-member districts, which again is another scenario and similar to what we looked at as options back 10 years ago. So it's a different configuration for District 1, the Hornell area. It adds Fremont instead of Greenwood. If you look at District 4, it combines a number of those towns and provides two representatives. District 3 would combine the Lake area along with Wheeler and the town of Bath with three representatives. District 5, sort of your central portion of the county, again, would be a combination with two representatives. And this is, I guess, one option to have exclusively, except for District 6, in this scenario, the southwest portion, to have all multi-member districts. If you want to go to D. Same concept with this, just a little bit different configuration. So to what Mr. Van Etten was talking about in this scenario, again, most of the districts in this case change with multi-member districts. So in this scenario, you would have the city of Hornell with the town of Hornellsville with two representatives. Now they'd be a little bit over that 10%, almost 12 over the ideal, but the rest fall relatively close in line for the plus or minus. Again, the northeast portion would include two members. The town of Bath remains the same. Your district six in this scenario, your central portion of the county shows a different scenario. The other large change would be essentially the same as in Hornellsville, and Hornell would be to combine the town of Corning with the city of Corning and provide three seats in that case. And then you have a brand new, essentially District 9, which would be Caton, Lindley, and Tuscarora. If you want to go to option E. So this one is changes a lot in the southern portion. Again, reconfiguration of District 1. You're looking back to kind of how option A for the Irwin area with Tuscarora be combined with Addison. It reconfigures the Bradford Campbell district by adding Thurston in that case. Most of your northern in this scenario, 3, 6, 5, and 4 remain the same. So just another way to, just another option to slice it. Option F, if you want to click on that. Again, just another different view of the same sort of scenario, but it's the large change in this scenario, I would say, would be District 11. It would combine Irwin with the Caton, Hornby, and Town of Corning district and provide that that section three representatives. Again, everything in this falls in the plus or minus that you're looking at, the 4, 5, 6, and 3, and actually 7 and 8 remain the same. So a large number of your districts remain the same, but just another way to slice it. And if we want to look at the option G. And this is just another scenario. I probably should have put this up a couple slides ahead, where you're looking at multi-member districts combining towns in the northern portion of the county. So 4 and 5 would be the combination of towns with multi-member districts, and the rest are essentially districts that you have seen in other scenarios. So before I answer any questions, I would just like to throw out there a couple other things. Obviously, Hornell and Irwin are the ones that if you want to get closer to that ideal, that have to be addressed. There's one other area that we can look at, and Chris and I started working on it last week. There are three census blocks, or census tracts, I'm sorry, in the city of Hornell, each with between 2,500 and 2,800 residents. If you separated one of those and combined, and essentially any one of those, and combined it with the town of Hornellsville, well, first, if you separated, you would be any one of those, you would be very close to the ideal for one member for the city of Hornell with two of those census tracts. But what that has, and why, you know, I just wanted to put that on the table, that would, because it has to be geographically touching, the extra census tract there, the one that you peel off, if you looked at those scenarios from the city of Hornell, would have to be combined with the town of Hornellsville. And that has a number of ramifications. That would essentially force changes in your central portion of your districts, your northwest portion of your districts, and your southwest portion of your districts. So it would have to make the numbers work closer to ideal, you would have to find a way to change many, many of the districts. And I didn't want to go down that road without, you know, kind of putting it on the table first. Certainly, these aren't the only scenarios that we can come up with. But if if the concept is to look to try to get close to ideal. You know, I don't see where we're going to be coming up with, you know, the 40, 50 scenarios like we did last time. It's going to be more these scenarios plus maybe a few others. If you wanted to look at those, taking a census tract from the city of Hornell, leaving the city with one representative in the other two census tracts, and then combining that one with Hornellsville. So that's the initial presentation for you and for information. Happy to hear any of the discussion that you have or answer any questions.
Jack, this is Brian. It looks to me like options C and G present the smallest deviation from the ideal seat per legislator.
I would say that'd be right, Brian. The you get closer for the spread in terms of the percent from target with those larger multi-member districts, but they also represent the largest, I guess, change from what you have now in terms of district boundaries.
But our job is to try to make it as ideal as possible.
Sure.
Rather than necessarily paying attention to the current legislators' wishes, if you will.
Yeah, so he sent me this like a week ago, and the first thing an accountant does is the math. So I looked at each one of the plans, and this was before he had given me option G. If you add up the difference from target column, which is almost to the far right, and net that out, option A is within 25. It's one of the smallest. Option D is 6. So option D is near, it nets out to near perfect, the 1505. But basically with option A only being 25 off, District 4 being with those legislators being high at 496 over the target, they offset District 7, which those legislators are below the target at 530. And then District 1, which is below at 349, offsets District 10, which is high by 436. So, I mean, A is damn near as close as you can get other than C. And I'm not sure if C is, you know, because you're going to Hornell City and Hornellsville, which I don't know that much about that area as far as.
It's a wonderful place.
Are they?
Which option was that?
A has the least amount of, I guess, variation at 25 votes. C or D is 6 votes. So D is almost nets out to 0. And Jack, you said A is one that has the least amount of impact on the current seating or the current district changes. It would only be changes for what is now District 13, Irwin, and then the Hornell area. All the rest you've held the same?
Correct. I would say A and B follow that metric. B is just another way to look at it. It changes in what you're looking at, District 10. So it changes essentially the 9 and 10. So A and B, I would say, represent the least amount of changes in geographical boundaries of districts as they're currently structured.
Yeah. And Bob, I'm sure you have the same comment that you did 10 years ago about being molded in with Irwin as far as two smaller towns with one big town.
Yeah. Irwin would totally control it if they wanted to.
Yep.
This is James. I do have a question for Jack.
Go ahead, James.
Thank you. So, Jack, could you just explain the your assumption around the ideal number of 5505, please?
Yeah, sure. So it is the new census, the 2020 census number, which is 93,000 and change divided by 17.
And so no other denominators were looked at?
So we have looked at them. Chris and I spent some time looking at, you know, the closer to get to ideal. And so you either have to base it almost off of the your assumptions and the construction off of the city of Hornell with either one or two seats, and also Irwin being high. And again, we looked at this 10 years ago, and the math is about the same. So the other denominators that you could, or number of legislators that you could look at and have scenarios that get close, are going down to 11 or up to 23.
Okay, so it doesn't matter just to even to then look at 15 or 13. It either has to kind of be.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't change it much. I spent some time looking at 15, 16, 18, 19, and it doesn't significantly improve the situation. In fact, in some of those scenarios, it makes it more pronounced, I would say.
And we had a discussion probably 2 months ago before they started this work. And Jack and Chris asked, where do we want to be as far as number of legislators? And it was the consensus at the time to try to stay at the 17 that we're at now.
Okay, thank you.
This is Wendy. Option D, I am really looking at that. The area that the legislators would have to cover for District 6 that you're proposing, that's almost the whole county. You have to take into consideration the time that it takes to get from one end of the county to the other to visit all these towns too. I mean, it and there's a few other areas that are absolutely huge to have to try to cover. I'm not liking option D because of the coverage area that you have to deal with.
Yeah, I think my other concern about option D is when you combine the city of Corning with the town of Corning and go to three legislators, that could become an issue for the folks in the town of Corning.
Or the same with that.
The same with option one. You got Hornell is built, and you got three small communities 25 miles away. You go through Canyon Steel, South Canyon Steel, and so on until you get to Greenwood, which is 25 miles away from Hornell. Now, how do you represent people like that at the same time, at the same back?
You've been representing everybody in this county since you sat here, so.
I've been dealing with this. This is Fred. I've been dealing with this problem ever since I was elected, because from Rathbone to Greenwood is like 40 or 50, 40 miles. And when you've got them meeting on the same night, you're busting your hump to get there, driving over the speed limit, risking deer population and everything else. I'm not doing it now because they changed their meeting nights. But, you know, my district right now, I think, probably covers the largest geographical area of anybody in the county.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult with six towns. On the other hand, there are six towns of very similar size. If you take Greenwood out and put them with Hornell and whatnot, for somebody in Greenwood to get elected in that district is going to be extremely difficult. They're not going to have the representation they do now.
We have studied this.
So you're going to have a local law presented in June. You have to make it by the August 1st date because this is a referendum matter.
And if we don't?
So if this thing is voted in a referendum in November, when does it take effect? January 1?
No, the following year.
Yeah, the following year? What does that have to do with the election right now?
Correct. You would have to run for, legislators would have to run for the seats in the newly configured areas the following year. And if you don't, the other thing, obviously you would have to, and this is what happened in 2010 or after 2010 and 2013, when after the review of the scenarios, you would have to reweight. But we would obviously, the changes in the state law, that talk about the ideal, you know, I would say presents more risk for the county if no changes were made, where last time, 10 years ago, we did not have any additional mandates or any additional, the state didn't speak about this. It was essentially, you have to review it and look at your options. You don't have to select any of the options. You can just say, no, thank you. We're keeping things the way they are and we're going to reweight the vote. Jen would have to advise is, you know, in terms of the practical risk of not looking or not changing district configurations, I would say.
So even if we put this up for a vote and it goes down, it goes back to weighted voting. That's my understanding.
Yeah, it correct? Goes back to where we are now. Yeah.
Correct.
I think, though, at that point in time, Mr. Malter, I mean, the state would take into consideration that you made the attempt. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're going to do if you don't make the attempt and it stays the same. That's an open question because this is the first time down that path because of the new laws.
I got a hammer.
If you take option A and you remove Greenwood from District 1 and take those 777 people and put them down in District 9, then that would make District 9 at 6,313 residents, which would put that legislator 808 over the target. It would reduce Hornell's or District 1, that group, down to 14,690 divided by 3 would mean 4,896 per seat or minus 608 below the target. So, I mean, that does... I think that solves the issue of the proximity of Greenwood to the rest of the population in that district, Gary, by dropping that back into District 9. But, I mean, at the end of the day, we have to, if we're going to do this, we have to do something about the Hornell area and the Irwin area. That's what's driving this whole thing.
So Bob, what townships do you handle right now?
Addison, Tuscarora, and Lindley. So the scenario I like is F.
Wow. Sounds like Fred likes it too.
Basically, I go to Addison, Tuscarora. They really don't want to be tied to Irwin because it's a totally different culture.
So which scenario are you looking at, Bob?
F.
And that puts Carroll's in my district in with Irwin.
Yeah.
And creates a three legislator district.
That's correct. Yep. See, Irwin's the situation with Irwin. They're so big, they need to tear up my district, or they need to merge into Scott's district and Carroll's district, or unless you try to go north into Campbell. I mean,
yeah,
it's your only options.
Yep.
And so I guess the only other question in terms of next steps, because obviously this is presentation for you for consideration, not looking for action today, unless, you know, the committee felt very strongly about recommending one of the options to the full board, is do you want us to provide scenarios where one of the census tracts of Hornell is separated and then those two census tracts in Hornell remaining receive one legislator, and we look at that again, that's going to have the ripple effect of changing most of the districts, especially in the Western.
I'm not in favor of that.
Okay. Because looking at it, I think that's the only, the chairman mentioned, I mean, you know, there's different permutations like he went through with Greenwood that we could certainly provide you if you want that. But the only other ones that we can see to provide you with brand new scenarios are addressing that issue and looking at the census tract concept.
Right. If we were to put Greenwood back with the Southwest district, that makes yours back to what it is currently?
Yes. Yes.
Option A.
Yes.
I would just run that scenario, Jack, and send it to us so that we can look at it. The thing we don't want to do is get into 70 scenarios, which is why when he did this first pass, I said, you know, let's not overdo it. Let's just be simple about it and pick, you know, what we consider to be good options and not make this a science project. But, you know, that would address part of Gary's concern as far as having to travel that far for townships outside of the city of Hornell.
They're not going to have any representation, 777 people.
Well, if I lived there, they'd have representation. Because I'd win.
I don't live there. I live in the city of Hornell.
So, Jack, I would just add that as an option.
Okay.
And run that and send it to us. You know, do you go through the list and say what ones aren't even going to be considered? Do you want to start eliminating those?
Okay. Well, option F addresses Bob's concern, which I agree with him sitting out there. And by doing what you're suggesting with Greenwood, it kind of takes care of a swag hammer to some degree, not totally, but.
I think my proposal would be to option D, to eliminate that, because I just can't see the city of Corning and the town of Corning being together like that.
Yeah.
Hilda, you had a question?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, since most of the options don't affect the city of Corning other than D, I don't know enough about these little townships and to really give a comment. So I would just go with the majority of where, and I think eliminating possibilities is better, because last time it was so confusing with all the different options. But I really would have to go with the majority, because I don't know enough about these townships.
So if you take Greenwood out of option one, do you go back to two seats or?
No. No, what I did was I still held as three legislators. It's just the total population of that district would drop from 15,400 down to 14,700. Yeah.
So could I ask the question on these? On these that we're looking at three seats, is there a way of sitting out there separating it out by legislator within those districts?
No.
Hilda?
To do that, John, I think we'd have to, you'd then have to block it by the census tracts, which, you know, most of the population, I mean, some towns are their own census tracts, but most of the population don't, you know where, that goes back to the conversation that we had, I think the first time when we kicked this off, we certainly could provide those scenarios for you, but if you specified only one legislator comes from this area, we'd have to do it at census tract level.
And forget that. And without the municipal borders, it's hard for residents to know who their representative would be.
Hilda? Did you have a question, Hilda? Apparently not.
That was from before. Sorry.
Oh. Any other thoughts at this point? Any direction you want to give Jack?
Yeah, come up with a better plan.
Come up with the ideal plan?
I know part of my job.
Come up with the ideal plan.
Yeah, but part of my job is to be the messenger that gets shot. But I'm just looking at the numbers. Let me just say that this is just a dispassionate look at the numbers. That's all we're presenting to you.
Do we want to?
Well, no, we don't want that. We want you to please everyone here.
Okay.
Do we want to eliminate some of the possibilities that we just don't care about?
Do you want to give everyone more time to maybe look things over more closely to give input to Jack?
Yeah, I guess at this point I would say run that change to option A and send it out. And I'm not sure when the next time we need to. I mean, we need to stay on some sort of a schedule here if we're actually going to make this happen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I can do that for A. I should probably do that, and I apologize. I can't see it on my screen, but was it F, the one that left Mr. Nichols' district the same? That had the same configuration of district. That's the one. So that's, yeah, option F. Do you want me to do that with Greenwood combined with 9 again? So that would be two different scenarios.
Because option E has it looking like that right now.
Right.
Yeah, so you could change F and put Greenwood back with 9.
Okay, so I'll do that for A and F and resend that out to you. And I from a timing standpoint, I mean, obviously, I'll get that to you early next week. And then if you discuss it again in your May meeting, you know, as long as you have a direction, like Jen said, no matter what you're going to do, if you're going to do something or nothing, by June, I think that reaches the threshold.
Yeah. I would like to revisit this at the April monthly meeting. Exactly. We can either do it before the meeting or at right after. We can have another discussion about this with these changes that Jack's going to send us.
I think you got to give everybody a chance to review this and give their opinion. So yeah. I agree.
I think we ought to look at it. I agree with the chairman. I think we ought to look at it in April.
Yeah.
I do. I think you can have the meeting after the full legislature or whatever if it's going to take some time.
Yeah. I mean, it shouldn't take a ton of time, but if people really get passionate about it, then we'll be there for a bit.
This is significant enough that we should have enough time allocated that we're not rushed to make a decision.
When's your tea time on that day, Hilda?
I can do it any time. I don't play golf.
Well,
wasn't talking about golf.
But right, even if we had to have a special meeting, because I think I asked for before, but you know, we need to spend time, not to rush through this. This is significant.
Yeah, we'll plan for it after the April monthly meeting, immediately following.
Okay. So anything else for this meeting? If not, got a motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting's adjourned. Okay.